Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to the Legal Eagle program with myself Brother Suleiman Isuf every Friday evenings between 8 and 9 p.m. Today being the 17th of Jumad al-Ula 1447 corresponding to Friday the 7th of November 2025. Yes, we know it is our legal program and we have our resident attorney, Zahir Umar. Attorney Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I mean, jazakallah khairan for taking out your time during your busy schedule. Attorney Sahab, inshallah, we're going to be discussing and continuing our program from last week, and that is the question with regards to Hazrat Bastami, rahmatullah alayh. And is this the true road to Almighty Allah?
One is asking me, what did Hazrat Bastami, rahmatullah, teach to be the true road to Allah?
Jee, correct. That is correct, Jee.
The answer to that question, I'm giving you shortly, Mawlana. One is the road to Allah. Now, Mawlana, I am quoting from a book. The author of this book is Mufti Desai of the Majlis in PE, Mawlana. List thing, I'm such a genius, I'm not. I'm being guided and being helped by Mufti Desai. The road to Allah. Once Hazrat Bustami, radiallahu anhu, saw Allah in a dream. He petitioned, "Oh my Rabb, show me the nearest road leading to you." Now, this is a very, very pious man, Mawlana. Now, it is extraordinary people. This man dreamed that he saw Allah in a dream. And he spoke to Allah. He asked, "Oh my Rabb, oh Allah, show me the nearest road leading to you." Allah replied to this very pious man, Hazrat Bayazid Bustami, "Oh Abba Yazid, leave your nafs and come." Now, what is nafs, Mawlana? Nafs are that which is incited in the human being by shaitan. Now shaitan was given reprieve by Allah until the day of Qiyamah. This was the request of shaitan. Shaitan told Allah, "I will mislead your creation, your ummah, the human being." And this is a challenge to Allah. Allah gave shaitan reprieve from being cast into Jahannam until the day of Qiyamah. Allah says, leave your nafs. Your nafs, a person's nafs is the difficulty he has, his vulnerability to resist the whispering of shaitan. An example is greed, for example. If one is mindful of Allah and the thought of greed comes to mind, if a person, for example, asks you a beggar, for example, asks you for something, ignore the man, the dunk, stop him. Said, you reflect, said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This could be the whispering of shaitan. You resist it. Take out the Quran, 5 Quran, give it to you, only for the praise of Allah. That's an example of overcoming the nafs. Therefore, the quickest way to reach Allah is by opposing one's desire, by eliminating the ego. More than that, if one thinks one is better than others, that is the ego. One must be humble. If the person believes he is not superior, and you quell the sin of pride. That is another thing you can use to reach Allah. Consider yourself as non-existent and eradicate pride within you. Moreover, every person must understand he is a human being, he is a creation of Allah. He cannot be superior to anyone else. Now, if the person reflects things, even if it's a very wealthy person, a very intelligent person, if he reflects and understands that he will ultimately have to die, he is a creation of Allah, and ask Allah to humble himself. That is another. To reach Allah, to not dispute in the laws of Allah Ta'ala, because this constitutes a barrier between Allah and his servants. Now, more than that, you see the Shia proclaims the Muslim, but he's misleading. The Shia, with respect to evil, For example, in the recent war between Zionists and Iran, Iran did not once utter a precondition for stopping the war with the Zionists to be the Zionists immediately stopping the starvation of brothers and sisters in Palestine. They did not utter a word. The Shia is different to us. The Shia dispute the finality of Nahud. We believe we believe the Quran is clear, Allah. I read Quran 2 pages every day, yeah. The Quran is clear, Allah. If someone wants to challenge, I will give the verse and ayat in the Quran. A Muslim is Allah, ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Believer in the oneness of Allah and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah to be. Now you try and confuse the concept of Nabuwwah. Hazrat Ali is the last Nabi, talk 12 Imams. Then you're introducing bid'ah. Then you're confusing. This is going to prevent you from teaching Allah. Do not dispute in the laws of Allah. Where is the laws of Allah? The laws of Allah is contained in the Quran. No, this is a fact, undisputed fact, Mona. Even the Kufar believe this. Even the Kufar accept that not a single word in the Quran has changed in more than 400 years. The Quran is unequivocal. The final Nabi of Allah is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if a person is going to dispute the Quran, that is going to impede in reaching Allah. If these evils have been expelled, then you have become wasi, the rich, the divinity of proximity. Wasi, what is wasi? Wasi is reaching the divine proximity. That is reaching, coming closer to Allah. That is wasil. So we ask Allah to make dua, each of us, Allah make us wasil, give us proximity to Allah. As the Akimul Ummah Mawlana Bawra said, Mawlana, I have covered each one of the routes to arrive at Allah. This is the road to Allah as expressed by Hazrat by Yazid Bustani Mawlana.
Gino, 100%, Attorney Sam. Attorney Sam, with regards to it, there's a lot of wisdom that has been spoken with regards to Hazrat Bastami and, you know, with various awliya and pious people and the friends of Allah, waliullahs, that we should beseech them, not beseech, but rather we should look into their works, you know, and there's so much that we can benefit from them. Gee. Now, Attorney Sam, with regards to the Zionist gangster enclave, what advice could you give the right-minded human beings?
Mona, this is a very important question, Mona. Look, I want to emphasize, Mona, Mahatma Gandhi was a good man, but we are not followers of Mahatma. Mahatma Gandhi taught forgive and forget. Now, it sounds very noble and nice. Mandela taught forgive, don't forget. Mona, those men are good people, but we are the followers of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we follow the Quran. The answer is, what does the Quran prescribe for every Muslim? We are not Shia. We are Muslim. We subscribe to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah is one and the final Nabi is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To whom was the final scripture, the final testament? Who was it given to? By Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel, to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran is clear. The recompense for injury is injury unto equal degree. Morala, look, we believe that for every Muslim Palestinian murdered, starved to death, we have to kill the equivalent of a violent. Morala, it's the duty of every Muslim, starting with me. Our death, our dua, is to kill, eliminate the equivalent of the number of Zionists who murdered our people. That must be taught to our kids. It was taught generation upon generation, Allah. An American and a Zionist is the same. But to the mercy of Allah, Allah, we have to, yesterday, Allah, the Supreme Court in the United States, an order was granted against the Trump administration to use emergency funds to feed 42 million Americans. They're starving. Allah, Allah. Close to two-thirds of the entire South African population, they are dependent on food handouts in America that is the poor state of the American economy. Allah, please mercy, sorry, Mullah. They depend on food handouts. They don't have the money. The court ordered the Trump Republican to use emergency funds to feed 42 million Americans. These Americans, Mullah, these shaitans, they in the forefront of supporting, giving weapons to the Zionists to kill off people. And the irony is, Allah is why in our lifetime is inflicting punishment on them. The Zionist economy must fall. The American economy, if they are in such a poor state, Mullah, that they must use emergency funds and to give 42 million in the handouts. The civil service, the United States experienced a shutdown, the longest shutdown ever in the history of America. That means millions of civil servants are not being paid. Now, how long can people survive without being paid? A revolution is inevitable. The troops, the soldiers are not being paid. And they're talking, well, they are a weak nation, Mullah. Trump was shouting, the whole year he was shouting, terrorists. Mullah, let me explain what terrorists means. The Americans are starving right now. They're in the food. They're living on food and out. Now, if I, for example, have an apple farm, or rice from India, I'm in there. If America buys rice from me, the moment it lands at the port, the American who's importing rice from me must pay double or triple the price. How does he sell to the American? It only aggravates the situation. Deaf, dumb, and blind. Their leader, Trump, has gone deaf, dumb, and blind. He imposes tariffs. Arrogantly, he says that people are happy to be tariffs. He's owing the American owes China approximately $50 trillion. Now, and he imposes tariffs on China. China throws a tariff. It's race experience of starvation in our lifetime, one another. And with that, when I think inevitable, the little Zionists and slaves, they are wholly dependent on the Shaitan American. They are busy now trying to save themselves from starvation that is the nation. It is only a matter of time that the Zionist world comes to the knees. It's inevitable, one another.
Definitely, Attorney Saab. You know, a very vocal listener messages us and says that the only solution is to blow up the fake Zionist state with its haramis.
If you said that Pakistan, they're not our friends, but they said Pakistan has reached a point where they can explode a nuclear bomb from underground. It's only a matter of time, Mona, that a nuclear explosion is going to take place from underneath Tel Aviv or anywhere of this gangster state which they call Israel. There's no state, there's no place like Israel. We don't recognize a place of Israel. Mona, the portion they call Israel is occupied Palestine, Mona. It's a Zionist genocidal place, but we call it occupied Palestine. Inshallah, from now on, Mona. If we refer to occupied Palestine, we are referring to the genocide place of the Zionists. There's no such place as Israel. Teach our kids. Our kids, they cannot be taught. There is no such place as Israel. The Zionists who are occupying occupied Palestine are illegally there. They don't belong there. And they must be the subject of our thoughts, of our desire to be eliminated and killed. The whole lot, Mona. Mona, Norman Finkelstein, himself a Jew, Mona, he described his people to be a lunatic state. And they had the largest number of referendums than any other country in the world. Now, what is a referendum? Let me give you an example. Mona, a referendum is a vote. For example, there was a vote put to the Zionists. How many of them support the killing of Palestinians? Men, women, children, whether soldiers or not. More than 75% agreed that the killing of a Palestinian, whether innocent, whether civilian, whether child, a woman, orphan, is acceptable. Can these be human beings? One, when a human being defies the law of mankind, then he is outside the purview, the parameters of being human. Then he's worse than an animal. One, in the Kugelhaus Park, you've been there. Many of us have been there. You have what's called the animal kingdom. The lion eats the sheep and the sheep eats the field and so it goes on. This, that's the law of jungle, the law of human beings. If people who purport to be human beings defy the law of human beings, made by human beings for themselves, then those people are cannot be human beings. And this is really shared by many Mona. It's not only me. For example, Mona, there was in Chocolate in the UK, one of the big cities, there was a huge protest. And the people there who were interviewed acknowledged that the Zionist state had been found guilty of genocide. And a genocide can't go unpunished, Mona. There'd be a circus. How can the United Nations proclaim guilt of genocide that being perpetrated by the people who call themselves human beings and not punished? It's insane. They cannot be hosted in any civilized country in the world, Mona. These people are guilty of genocide. They must be arrested. Arrested, brought to court, and punished, Mona. Mona, we'll come to Mamdani later on, the new mayor of New York.
Okay.
But he apparently did state that if Netanyahu sets foot in New York, he, Mamdani, would ensure Netanyahu is arrested. Arrested because the International Court of Justice has issued an international warrant for arrest against him, against Netanyahu, for crimes, for the crime of genocide, which is kind of humanity.
No, definitely, definitely, Attorney Saab. You know, we hope and we pray that Zohan, who is the new mayor of New York, would take some action towards that. Yes, we know we advocate that he is not a Muslim, but we hope that some sense gets knocked into him, that when the apartheid Israeli regime or Netanyahu steps into the United States, that action will be taken place.
Monana is fine, Mamdan is concerned. Monana is a Shia. Monana, look, we as Muslims, we don't need another Muslim to understand and recognize what's justice and injustice. What is cruelty or not cruelty? The judge who handed down the judgment proclaiming the finding of the verdict of guilt of genocide was not a Muslim. The Nabi Kapalei, she was a good human being. It does not take a rocket scientist or a Muslim to see right from wrong, Mona. It takes any right-minded human being to see that which is a right and wrong. So Mamdani, Mona, I want to emphasize, I'm not embracing him because he is Muslim. I'm embracing him because he sounds like a good human being. And he made utterance in support of that which is right, which is in accordance with justice, more specifically his views regarding Netanyahu and the Zionist state occupying Palestine. Mamdani is a self-professed Shia. A Shia is not a Muslim. I want to emphasize, we don't need a Muslim to do justice. Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, how much did he do for us, for our people, for that time? With respect, nothing. Nothing at all. All we need is a right-minded people, Mona. The Spanish, the Italians, Portuguese, or the majority are non-Muslims. They marched and protested against the genocide. The genocide perpetrated by those gangsters who occupied part of Palestine, which they labeled to be Israel, which we don't recognize as their country of North. We recognize that it exists, Mona.
No, definitely, definitely. Attorney Saab, our next topic of discussion, something that is very close to the heart of America Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and also I think it's very close to you, especially being the fact that you've given the topic, is our beloved Hazrat Masihullah Khan Saab, Rahmatullah Ali. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on his soul and bless him. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. The first Darul Ulum to be established in South Africa. Now, Attorney Saab, can you please discuss about the taklif or the difficulties that had been caused during the time when Hazrat Masihullah Khan Saab was traveling from India to South Africa?
Hazrat Masihullah, the very, very pious man, Allah, and he taught us never to bring inconvenience or taklif to any other creature, Allah. Now, amongst the salient features of Hazrat Masihullah's teachings and practice was never to cause taklif. What is taklif? Taklif is difficult or inconvenient to any creation of Allah, be it a lowly animal. Now this pious man, Hazrat Masihullah, taught us never to cause difficult or inconvenient, even to a lowly animal. Those who had lived with him witnessed this unique creature in such a life. Listen carefully. Once on the way to Masjid, accompanied by some of his muridin, a dog was sleeping in the pathway. Hazrat made a detour of a few meters so as not to disturb the peace of the sleeping dog. When a man has reached the stage of feeling for creation, can anyone expect him to harm the human being? Now, Mawlana, you see, Hazrat Masihullah, he is a Muslim. This is an indication of his teachings. He taught never to bring inconvenience or difficulty to any creature, even if it's an animal. Now, Mawlana, this is what we believe in. And the world must understand that we are the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Masihullah is a person who taught us and strived to reach his level of piety. Now, but you see, they don't see this as a weakness. A person who reaches this level of spiritual growth and development is actually a very powerful human being. This is what we should teach our kids. This is not a weakness. Now, if we are going to fight, if we are going to destroy and eliminate the Zionist one, we'll have to reach the level of piety of Hazrat Masihullah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and also give us the hidayah to try to attain even a 0.01% of the akhlaq and the piety of such great ulama that have boarded or came to the shores of South Africa. Ameen, ameen. Attorney Sahib, with regards to the city of Johannesburg and a plan to avoid the theft of cables that cause electric interruptions to homes and businesses. Also, Attorney Saab, something that happened last week, which is very disturbing, and I think it's also very ripe within the suburbs of Cape Town. Attorney Saab, this thing about gang violence. Just last week, there was on a Saturday, innocent lives had been lost because of street gang violence. But we'll touch on that a little bit later, inshallah.
Luckily, I am in Cape Town right now. But let me first begin with the issue of the city of Johannesburg planning to avoid theft of cables. More than that, on a problem we experience in Johannesburg and Pretoria and Israel is theft of copper cables. These cables transmit electricity to homes and businesses. And then you have what is called, they call it what? And the electricity goes off. No change. Now, more than that, you see, electricity. I did a case many years ago. I won a case. And the court found that every family in South Africa is entitled to a minimum of 6,000 liters of water every month. When electricity has become as crucial for any living family in South Africa as is water. Without electricity, there's no taps. Without electricity, you can't make hot food. Without electricity, you can't have a warm bar. More than that. Now, if we are going to find very sophisticated ways to transmit electricity by not using cables, and if that electricity is only going to benefit the rich, then the poor, right now the poor are receiving electricity using electricity with the use of the cables. But the money and the time and the energy that is spent in trying to prevent the poor getting electricity, I'm saying with respect, we take the time, energy and money and devote it to ensuring that even the poor get electricity. It will benefit us all. More than that, there is a French philosopher who said, it was Karl Marx, the French or German, when the greed in the hearts of the have-nots crystallized, inevitably there will be a revolution. But even the Rasulullah taught us, we must live humbly, we must give charity, We should not live in a manner where our fellow human beings are starved and are deprived to a point where their iman will be lost on us. So we should stand up. We praise the city of Joburg pretty well, but we are appealing to the city of Joburg and our government to ensure that electricity is given to the whole everyone in the country. We can't have a few people enjoying electricity, starting with Mercedes-Benz, Bentley, Lexus, and having other little kids not having warm water or electricity in winter in Baas and in Gauteng for my baby cold, Mona. So in conclusion of this topic, Mona, I'll say we applaud the city of Joburg in making efforts to prevent load shedding, to prevent electricity interruptions to businesses and homes. But I appeal to them, we as Muslims appeal to the city of Joburg and Pretoria and Cape Town to use time, money and effort to also ensure that electricity is given to the poor. One of the answers here, I wouldn't mind paying for electricity for 2 or 3 families, a proportion of, say, 2,000 a month for each. And many Muslims and other like-minded people will do the same. More than, I'll tell you what they gave him or not. You know what, you see, the thinking of Rasulullah, if we're not going to give sadaqah, we are laying a foundation of destruction for ourselves or for our previous generation. One, if a child in a home looks at the rich, looks at the middle class, see, they got cars, they got electricity, and the mother or the grandfather, the father, are cold, they're sick, you're creating hatred in the hearts of the kids. You know, right now, Mullah, there's hatred sown in the heart of every Muslim of the world and every right-minded person. This is what many Jews and Americans see. Now they exercise, Mullah. My hatred for the Zionists must not be construed as my hatred for the Jews. No, I'm Muslim. Quran says, but amongst the followers of Musa and Islam, you find those who guide the righteousness and the right of truth. I hate the Zionists. I appeal for the killing and the extermination of the Zionists. From planet Earth, I want to take revenge, inshallah. There's 70,000 more of my people that were murdered and starved to death. I want revenge. I am not saying we must express hatred towards the Jew. No. Norman Finkelstein is a Jew. I saw a Jew interviewed in America where he himself said that the conduct of the Zionists is inciting hatred for the Jew. And he himself expressed abhorrence at the conduct of the Zionists, especially Netanyahu. Moreover, I'm saying humbly, we should stand up for the poor in our country. We should make an appeal. I said again, Mona, we must interview the members of government, ministers on this education. Ask the government, please tell us what measures are you taking to ensure electricity is given to the poor as well. We don't sit and applaud and say, wow, you have taken measures to stop interruption of electricity supply to us wealthy people. No, our greatest concern is what measures have you taken to ensure electricity is given to all people, all families in the country. Until you can reassure us of that, we will not be satisfied. Not in South Africa, not in Australia, in France.
No, definitely. Excuse me. Definitely, Attorney Saab, we were going to get, we want to discuss, inshallah, later in our shows, we will get one of the ministers. And also, Attorney Saab, you are in Cape Town at the moment. Your views on the rate of gang violence that is happening in and around our country?
Monica, you see, I've been throughout Cape Town. Last night, I was on a ship in Tomana. Very, very beautiful. I saw a rat. I moved to Newlands already, you know, same way. As was coming out, I saw that. Now, more than that, Cape Town is very, very beautiful. Now, for me, seeing rats was very disturbing. More than that. Now, what did Rasulullah do in the Haram? Rasulullah had cats are clean creatures. I did a letter to the mayor of Cape Town, telling the mayor, please, get cats in the vicinity of the Newlands Bath, Newlands Horvigin, and the Cape Town Promenade. The people I'm confident will feed, it needs to be out, contribute $500 a month towards feeding the cats. Otherwise, Cape Town is very beautiful. But the more than the Cape Flats, crime in Cape Town is minimal. I was at St. James Beach today. My clothes were kept in a little pocket. It was safe. I saw no liquor bottles. I saw no litter. The place is fantastic. The crime in the Cape Flats is concentrated only in the Cape Flats. In the Cape Flats, there are people who are terribly poor. They're rich in poverty. And many of them are Muslim. That's the fighting part. And the gangsterism and the violence is confined in the areas of Manenberg, other areas in Cape Flats, where this violence is reaching terrible levels. What we need them is dawah. There we need them. Many of them are Muslim, and many of them become Muslim. My cousin, Mona Tao Samson, he is in the Galaxy Park area, very much there. But the crime and the violence in Cape Flats, I want to emphasize, is constant in the areas of inter-area management. And what is the solution there? It's very difficult. I'm saying, we give dawah. Give dawah, we can improve the condition and touch these people. That's what we're going to do. But the Cape City itself is fantastic. It's like another country on earth. There is no crime. The people are pleasant. The beaches, no liquor. So, yeah, they will have it.
Now, speaking of the Cape Flats and also the gang violence confining to a certain precinct, and it fits in so nicely for our next topic of discussion, Attorney Saab, the prisons, and one that comes to mind is Poldmore, over the overcrowding of prisoners and inmates, and also there's violence within the inmates as well.
No, that's a very important topic you raised. 15 years or more ago, there was an attorney, Bob Roth. Bob Roth ran away with 150 million rand to Australia. Mm-hmm. There was an extradition hearing in Australia. That means there was a court case in Australia where our government asked the Australian government to return Bob Roth to South Africa. At that point, 15, 20 years ago, an Australian court found that the conditions of the South African prison are such a torrid state that any term of imprisonment imposed upon someone in South Africa will amount to death penalty on the basis they refuse to extradite Bob Roth. I'm on that today, 15, 20 years later, one of the charges they signed was the person supervising prison about 15, 20 years ago. Ask ourselves now, Mona, what is the question? Our prisons are terribly overcrowded, Mona. The food is being stolen. The toilet is in a torrid state, Mona. Now, the question to be asked, Mona, when a magistrate or a judge imposes a punishment of imprisonment upon a wrongdoer, that magistrate or judge, 99%, are oblivious, Mona. They sit, with respect, they sit very arrogantly, they earn fancy salaries, they don't know what is happening down on the ground, and they purport to be very careful. I'm a lawyer myself, and that is wrong, Mona. They're arrogant, very arrogant people, magistrates, Mona. We have to have regard to the effect the imposition of the prison would have on the convicted criminal. Mona, if people who are convicted for rape, that's very bad, murder, very, very bad. And then theft, Mona. Theft. And then you have corruption. A person sent for 2 years to prison. Does that person have to suffer the horror of being in a cell with 200 people that has sleeping facilities for 100, that has toilet facilities for maybe 50 people? That is wrong, Mona. You are not imposing punishment on the person. You are torturing the person. And torture is a contravention of a fundamental right contained in Chapter 2 of the Constitution. Mona, now what is Chapter 2 of the Constitution? The rights contained in Chapter 2 are included. The right to life, the right to dignity, the right not to be tortured, the right to health care, the right to food. Everyone has the right to health care. Everyone has the right to food. Everyone has the right not to be tortured. Chapter 2 of the Southern Constitution can only be amended among us by 2/3 majority in the National Assembly. Now, why was Chapter 2 included in the Constitution? This was because of the fear of majoritarian dictatorship. This was primarily the minority at Kudesa between 1990 and 1994 who believed that a majoritarian African government were oppressive. As a result, Chapter 2 of the Constitution was enacted. Now, Morana, the point is, what are we doing to prevent the future of torture upon our own people? You're sending it to prison. Well, again, this is an issue which the ministers must address. I said this before, we must get the ministers on your program. We must get a judge on the program. Are they fools? I don't want to say something which is too radical against the judges and matches. It may amount to contempt ex parte curiae. But you can say, what stops a judge or a magistrate or an advocate to be asked a question? Are you aware what the state of the prison lies are you? Mona, what stops a journalist from Markatab for next week? Go to any of the prisons, give notice to the Eastern Minister, saying we are the head, we are some concerned advocates, we want to see the state of the prison. Let's go there, Mona, and let's observe ourselves, let's take pictures, let's write articles. You can't have a person sentenced for theft of a jewelry taken 6 months or 2 years in prison and be confined in a place of horror. That's haram, it's wrong, it's unconstitutional, Mona. And we are sort of sitting, we can do nothing. That is so wrong, Mona. You don't inflict that punishment in 99%, Mona, of the criminals. They are poverty stricken, Mona. I'm not talking about the rape person, the murderer, they too have a problem. But a person who steals a cooling, a person who steals the right, get 6 months in prison. Come on, Mona. If you're in 6 months in prison, and save the torture, and you proclaim to have a fancy constitution, that is haram. That is wrong. And we have to teach the leaders of our country that is wrong. If you're going to do that to the parents of little kids, those kids are going to, as they say, take it out on the rich. Mother, if your son, who is now 10 years old, eats his father, who stole bread, who stole whatever, in 6 months of prison, and he eats like worse than an animal in prison, what do you think your little son is going to have a hatred condensed and consoled in his heart, and that hatred, Mona, will be inflicted upon the majority of people. When he's old, it will be inflicted in him in a way of crime, murder, right? He loses a sense of trust. He loses a sense of loyalty towards his family human being. This is inevitable, Mona.
No, definitely. And also, as that being said, The father who had been imprisoned would suffer psychologically of the torture that they go through.
The daughter, the son, inevitably, Mona.
And even they'll have trauma. The children will have trauma thinking now that everyone will start labeling the child as a child of a criminal. And the child is only 10, 11 years old and he's going to start questioning his life. That will lead to suicidal thoughts.
Inevitable, Mona. The father comes out after 6 months. He loses trust in his family, in the fellow human being. He expects cruelty towards his kids, his daughter, his son. This is all the effect of the torture he inflicted upon him when he was little, Mona.
And also towards society itself, he will have this negative outlook towards them.
Inevitably. One of us understands, Mona. You know, Islam, Mona. Islam, the sentence for the punishment for death is cutting off the hand. But that in a society where there is no poverty, Mona. No, there's no poverty, there's equality, Mona. Islam teaches us to give sadaqah. You have Jamaat al-Ulama, people who don't have food will go there for counseling, for food. So if you have, when they criticize Islam is the most superior system. Because right now you're sending a person, a man, a woman to a prison, which is inflicting torture, but the constitution of the country forbids torture, and it's being done with impunity. So you have a law for yourself which you are disregarding and violating. You violate a law for you and for yourself, and that is it. Coming from Mona, and you say you can do it because the poor person in prison doesn't have the money to go to court and to challenge the condition in prison. It's so sick, Mona. It's sick and haram. So a whole system of law depends on how much money the person has and how much money the person can spend to pay lawyers to get justice. wrong.
No, definitely, definitely, Attorney Saab. And Attorney, our next topic of discussion is with regards to the 5%. And you know, it's something that was what came to mind. I just hope that, inshallah, it'll come. You know, you were discussing a certain topic, and I said I was going to speak about it. But inshallah, if we have time, we will speak about it. The constitution of subjecting people, well, we did that about the prisons. The 5% of South African, well, yes, now with the ad hoc committee and also with the general Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi and this whole thing that's been happening with regards to the police service and the police personnel who have been charged for murder and rape.
When a police person must epitomize a person who is moral, who is upright, and who upholds the law. Now, that, you see, in our country, we have a great country, we have a good constitution. Now, our police people, Molna, again, here the minister comes in. Look, we have a high unemployment. Our police people must be trained, Molna. Our police must be trained to epitomize, to be an example of upholding the constitution. And they will be the example of the people down on the ground. But if you have police force, 5% of the police force charged for rape and murder or not, what does it say? 5% of our police force, they are the exhibition of upholding the law. So if you have a policeman charged for rape and murder, then you have rape and murder being endorsed. It means raping and murdering is done by those who uphold the law, so the people can do it. How will the people in the common location have an example? The police must be an example, Mona. Mona, if women on the beach walk half naked and put bikinis on, these women are an example to the other children who will see if the adults do this, it's acceptable. If the police rape and murder, then the youngsters see police doing it. It must be acceptable, and they do it too.
Yeah.
Modern, there's another example where the minister must be asked and challenged. We can't have police, any police official, practice as a police official unless the police official concerned is subject to an examination, number one. Number two, our police must be paid a living wage, woman. Number three, we can't have police officials conduct themselves in a manner which is not an exhibition of what is right, what is lawful, what is constitutional. Police people should be people who are looked up with respect. You can't have every time a police officer stops you, you give him a 50-run, 100-run, 200-run.
I was going to get to that there, Attorney Saab, with regards to the police officers being bribed. Now, I mean, as a police officer, you're stopping a person by doing your job. You're doing your job as a police officer. Now, for the individual to get away, as they put it, scot-free, you give them a bribe. Now, the police officer being accepting the bribe, now what's the consequences with regards to that?
Mona, I want the listeners to listen to me very carefully now. Mona, I'm South African. I'm a South African. First, I'm Muslim. And now, with our country taking a stand against the Zionists, more than any other country short of Yemen, I am a patriot to my country. Mona, there is a judgment custom where a person bribed a police officer who allows him 100-run. The police officer was given 5 years in prison. I'm warning the listeners, please, and parents, tell your kids to not ever indulge in bribery or corruption. It's not only haram, it's custom haram. The Rasulullah said you do not conduct bribery. You're conducting, it's evil, it's un-Islamic. And I'm going to warn you, and I'm telling the minister, who anyone wants to listen, must listen. You're going to bribe customers. I'm going to encourage the police to get people who attempt to bribe to charge them. No more. Stop. If you're going to drive fast, pay your fine. If you're going to bribe police officers, you're corrupting the entire system. Then the same police officers who must uphold and enforce the law, they decide not to uphold the law and not to enforce the law. Then robbers come, then the robbers rape and they kill, and the country falls into chaos. Don't do that. please, I'm appealing to the parents, I'm appealing to the listeners, do not indulge bribery, do not indulge corruption. It's haram. So you can't do that and make salah and fast and support to an example of what is good and right for the Muslim and corrupt people and corrupt the police force. How can we expect the police to embrace Islam, to see Muslims as people of integrity if we're going to corrupt them? Don't do that. Just don't do wrong. Before you go out in the morning, recite Tazifain Tawallahu, Fakul Hasbi Allahu, La ilaha illallahu, Alayhi Tawakkaltu, Wa Rabbul Hashim. Go out, spend your day. Do not commit wrong. Don't speed. When you have someone, you don't have 200 kids per hour. Why? Like 120 up to 140, the cop will listen. Get to your destination. You want to speed, then they stop you, and then you want to corrupt the corruption. Then you want to bribe, you buy stolen stuff. We all are Muslim brothers. They're doing this, and this is wrong, or not?
No, definitely it is. And Attorney Sir Mothman, we've got about 2 minutes left. We just want to run through quickly our next topic. You know, we have a lot of water shedding and these airborne diseases that come out. And now, with regards to that, can you speak about the water shortages around the big cities? And I know in Johannesburg alone, you know, there's a lot of maintenance that goes around in rain water. Sometimes some towns and some suburbs don't have water for like 2-3 weeks.
Now, this is a very important issue you are raising. And it's 99%, it is the poor who are affected, Mona. The wealthy people have tanks. Well, people have their own boreholes. Now, if you are away in your area, there is water not being supplied to community for a month or 2 weeks, raise money, go to court, help the people, Mona. I have a case, I mentioned it earlier, it's high privilege. It's about 15 years ago. It is the law in South Africa that every family is entitled to 6,000 liters of water free of charge every month. If there's a community near you, you know, suffering water shortage, please phone my office, see your local lawyer, raise funds, and fight the case. Why must the poor suffer all the time? If you have a little child, 10 years, 11 years, he sees mommy not having water, they must fetch water, they must have healthy sewage. This crystallizes the hatred in the heart, in the child, for his fellow human beings, which is us. And our kids will become the victim of crime. What are we saying? We are so scared how we lock our doors of fancy cars. We are creating the criminals, Mona. We're creating the criminals by having their parents suffer. But even the shortage of denial of basic commodity given by Allah to mankind. That's water, Mona. Mona, how many wealthy people around you didn't have water? None of them. They have water tanks, they have their bowls. How many hundreds, maybe thousands of people in our midst we know of who do not have water? Pretoria, Joburg, mamas go out, they must put water, on their heads, back, buckets in their heads, one must walk with perhaps a kilometer with water bucket in their head, where the kids look and see the suffering of mama. That's an old one, man.
No, definitely. And, you know, we should pray and make dua. Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for each and every one of us, inshallah. Definitely. Attorney Saab, 9 p.m. Jazakallah khairan for your time. It's great. It's a pleasure always having you on our show. Inshallah, when you return, I know you're enjoying the beautiful mother city of Cape Town. And inshallah, when you return to Johannesburg, we will keep in touch for our topic next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Amin. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that was our very own attorney Zahir Umar discussing various topics and also touching on an Islamic perspective with regards to our very own Hazrat Masihullah Khan sahab rahmatullah alayhi and also Hazrat Bastami rahmatullah alayhi and how to align oneself towards Almighty Allah and also the awliya and the pious saints of and the friends of Almighty Allah. So alhamdulillah, it was a beautiful topic and a beautiful show indeed. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Legal Eagle with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isub, every Friday evenings between 8 and 9 p.m. Fi amanillah, ma'a salama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
listening to Merkaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.